Whoa! And we're back for another episode of Signutron Spiltron. Hope y'all enjoyed last episode of the Skelebang Kid. Ooh, we're gonna have some more of that coming out soon. So, guess what? It's time for another irreverentism episode. I can't even say the word, apparently. Reverent irreverentism, actually. Irreverentism sounds cool, and calling it reverent irreverentism all the time, you know, it's just reverentism for short, you know. So what is irreverentism, you might ask? Well, I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to them already, go back and listen to part one and part two of the irreverentism podcasts. And then come back and listen to this one, because I'm just going to compound on the, I'm going to compound on it. I'm going to add to what I've been talking about, because this is a huge, insanely complicated and ridiculous concept that I'm trying to relay to you guys. I mean, just think about the Earth and all of the complicated, insano things that exist within it that are crazy hard to explain and understand as a whole. That's what I'm trying to do here. So, you know, I mean, it's going to take some time. It's going to take many episodes to lay this out in something that even makes sense to not only myself, but to all of you as well. So I'm doing my best. Also know that anything I say, it's all theories. This is all me trying to make sense of everything and figure it out. I'm not trying to say I'm right, and I'm not trying to say I'm wrong either. I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle, but what I'm doing is I'm actively thinking about it. And that's more than most people do, and that's what I think is really important. If you don't believe any of this stuff or anything, that's fine. But, you know, it's cool to listen to and to think about, so I'm not asking you to believe me. In fact, I'm telling you actively to not believe me until something in your life, the proof shows up in your pudding. Because what I'm trying to express to you guys is that religion is a very personal thing and specific. It's tailored specifically to each one of us almost as much as our own fingerprint or our own DNA. Religion is very personal. So keep that in mind as we go through this. I'm just trying to make sense of what I'm experiencing, and I'm trying to relay that onto you to get you guys thinking about it. Because I think people have forgotten that these things even exist, or they're too scared to explore them because of all the shitty things that religion, or that mankind has done in the name of religion. It's scared everybody off, but we're lost and we're trying to find meaning, and we fill up our lives with entertainment and getting pissed off about that, and you know, it's we're lost as a human race. We're lost because we don't know why we're here. I think it's time that we start trying to figure that back out again, and that's what I want you guys to do, because whatever makes sense to you is not going to make sense to somebody else, because that's why the world is so vast and different and wonderful. But there are universal things that we can think about and explore together so that we may each find our own personal happiness and our personal wisdom. Like, I don't even know if I want to label irreverentism as a religion. It's almost like a movement, or really just, I don't know, principles of thinking. It's philosophy, I guess. I don't know. But it's more than that, too. It's a big, I don't know. It's a big, it's just as confusing and as life itself, I guess. What scares people from major organized religion? Well, for starters, the rampant hypocrisy. Like, if we look at Christianity, they just judge and judge away when their religion tells them that it's not for them to judge other people. And, you know, it's a whole other story, but also, the crazy greed that comes along with it. These people are like making these mega churches and like making bank off that shit, and the government doesn't tax religion. So like, hey, yeah, the best, I think L. Ron Hubbard said it, the best way to make money is to make a religion. And look at what Scientology became. That's not me. That's not what I'm doing here. Definitely not in the slightest. What I'm trying to do is to get you to think, because I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for everyone. Because I have faith in my fellow mankind, womankind, and everyone in between kind. I have faith in my fellow humans. And your successes are successes for us all. I want you to succeed. I want humankind to progress. I want people to have the freedom to create, to love, to experience life and all its mysteries and wonder and revel in it, but be free to do so. And when we have the freedom to do something, then we have the freedom to progress and we have the freedom to elevate ourselves. But really, we're just holding each other down with all of our labels and our hate and our division. But really, at the end of the day, we're just humans. And there is a whole wonderful, vast world out there that if we work together, think we could literally unlock, like, the secrets of the universe. But instead, we're just boxing ourselves up in this tiny little box. Think of, when I go through this and try to explain irreverentism, think of the Earth, and then think of the size of the universe. These are real, like, scientific things. We know the Earth exists. We know that space exists. And we know the scale of the Earth in the universe. Now take that, something that's tangible and it actually exists. Now equate that
to the size of
our understanding. Think about the size of the Earth in the giant universe. That the size of the Earth is our capability of understanding. We can't even understand anything. We can't understand anything that we've never experienced. Half of us can't even understand other cultures different than our own. Half of us can't even understand someone that lives in a different state than we do. So to understand any of this, we're going to have to start looking at big picture things. And I think as humans, we need to start looking at big picture things. So again, whether or not you believe the spiritual reasons for all of this or what I'm talking about doesn't matter, because if you take what I'm talking about and you apply it practically to your life, then we can actually enact some true, wonderful change in this world. And I don't know about you, but I think it could definitely need some. So I'm Sig Neutron, and this is Episode 10, Irreverentism Part 3.
Hello, 8-bit breakdown.
Leave a lot of baloney, motherfuckers. So in this episode, I'm going to start delving a little bit more into the spirituality side of things. Oh my god. Don't let that scare you, okay? Don't just shut down immediately because of what you've been conditioned because of all the shitty things about religion and spirituality and all this stuff. I'm not out to try to force you to believe anything. All I'm trying to do is present information to you that maybe you may have not thought of before. Because as I've said, religion is very personal. And whereas most organized religions tell you that you have to believe a certain way, you have to have these practices, that's not what I'm about. And I don't think that's what everything is about. Again, this is me talking. These are all my theories. So keep that in mind too. Take it for what you want. But if something that I'm saying resonates with you and makes sense to you, then maybe there's something more to it. Think about that and then come to your own conclusions from what I've said. Don't take everything I've said as like fact or the way things are or what you should do. You're the only one that knows what you should be doing because you are the captain of your ship, just as so much as I'm the captain of mine. So what works for my ship
don't work for your ship too. Or maybe some of the things that are, I don't know. Why am I just talking about ships and shit? I'm trying to figure out a way to compile all of this that makes sense. But let me just start with the phrase, or the statement, that the gods want you to believe in yourself. Really take that in for a minute, mull it over in your brain, and realize that, yes, there are higher energies, there are higher deities, beings, aliens, interdimensional beings, angels, demons, whatever you want to call them, they're all real, and they want you to believe in yourself. Well, maybe some of them don't. I don't know. That's the thing, is that the spirit realm is just as varied and crazy as our human realm. If you think that, this is why the comparison that I think it's weird that nobody makes, because all the religions paint the spirit realm as being so very different from our own realm. But our own realm operates on a very specific set of rules, so why wouldn't the spirit realm operate on its own set of rules too? And as above, so below, why wouldn't the spirit realm reflect what our realm is like? Does that make sense? So what I'm starting to believe is that the spirit realm is very much like ours. It has a hierarchy, it has people, has energies or deities or whatever you want to call them that do different jobs, and they have specific tasks to perform, and all in the greater interest of keeping balance. Now let me posit some theories, if you will. Sig Neutron's going to positron some theory. This is the positron segment. I don't know. Whatever. I just wanted to say positron and somehow try to relate that to neutron, but, you know, didn't really work. Anyways, back to positing some theories here. Now, let's say the gods exist, and now let's just look at the human aspect of this. Let's look at all of recorded history that we know of, and let's look at different cultures. And what do these cultures do? They record their interactions with their gods through a cultural lens that's very specific to their geography, it's very specific to their culture, it's very specific to their way of life. Now, what if all of these different pantheons of gods and names for them and religions and things, what if all of those gods actually did exist, but they were recorded differently by mankind and mankind's attempt at understanding this insanely hard to comprehend and understand thing? Sounds to me like you get some wildly different views and opinions and stuff, because we are all wildly different people and we experience things wildly differently. Now let's look at the gods as just as varied as we are. They all have different intentions, they all have different goals, they all have different ways of doing things. So could you now see how the gods trying to guide mankind have, in different ways, maybe different deities were guiding different groups of people? Can you see how, and then you have, let's throw in the element of a big part of the population that doesn't believe any of it. So now you have all of these people believing wildly different things, and some groups of people have experienced something very real to them, and so have other groups of people, but they've experienced it in two different ways. So how do you get those people to look at each other and be like, you know, my God is right, or your God is right, or, oh yes, no, we have the same gods, but, you know, we just have different names for them. The mankind has the tendency to group up, and, you know, it's tribalism. That's, people feel safer in groups, and so anything outside of your group is wrong, and But this is where, can you see, just, if you look at that big, broad picture, then you could see how jumbled and confusing shit could really get. So then that leaves us people in the middle, like, not knowing any of it to believe. So we shut down and we stop even trying to figure it out, because it's a whole bunch of shit and we got bills to pay, right? What I'm trying to say is that if we start slowly coming back to spirituality, and like the spirit realm is at work on us, whether we believe in it or not. And the gods and the deities, no one expects you to believe. You can believe what you want. That's the great, wonderful power of free will and the human condition, is that you can choose and do whatever you want. You are not forced to do anything. That's magical and terrifying. Our free will is our greatest blessing and our biggest curse. Our free will in many ways gets in the way of our understanding. And I think what's really important for us as a society now is to start steering our ships back to trying to understand. Again, as I've said before, not necessarily, well, not accept terrible things like racism or homophobia. We need to bring ourselves back to understanding these things and how they came about. And so when we understand them, we can think about proactively how we can change and fix them. And also, if we're all on a mission to understand things, then that leads to a very productive and positive environment where we're all just looking at each other like, yeah, what the fuck are we and how the fuck did we get here? I don't know. Why don't we try to figure it out together? And I'll stop saying that you're fucking wrong and you stop saying I'm wrong. And maybe we're both right sometimes and maybe we're both wrong sometimes. But together we can figure this shit out because together shit gets done. Civilizations get built. Civilizations fall. Social media gets created. We create video games and wonderful things like that. Video games, I think, are a really good metaphor for our existence, in a sense. Now, here's a very simplified metaphor for our entirety of existence. Think about a video game. We love video games, don't we? So in a sense, you could think of the physical realm as essentially the video game world, and we're the players. But the gods are essentially the ones with the controllers. They're doing their best to guide us any which sort of way. And at the end of the day, we have the decision to go that way or not. Like, we have our conscience that tells us we should or shouldn't do things. And I truly believe that these are voices from the gods, and also voices of our ancestors, and maybe it's even like voices of our past selves, which I'll get more to that later. But for now, let's focus on this video game thing. So what if video games exist so that we can understand the concept of our own existence? Think of trying to explain a video game to an ancient Greek. Would they have any clue what you're talking about? Again, to go back to what I was saying, we can only understand what we come in contact with. We all, as a modern society, understand video games, so we can use that as a frame of reference to understand the bigger picture at work here. Back in the day, they didn't have video games, so there's no way that they could understand or even like have this metaphor. No, understanding comes with time. Understanding comes with lifetimes of progress. Both in technology, in society, and most importantly within ourselves. As we grow, our understanding grows. We're headed towards the point as technology advances and society advances, then so does our understanding of the world that we live in. So now I believe that we're coming to this point where we can start to actually understand what the fuck is going on. Back in the day, like, the gods, they had to present themselves in a way that people would understand them. So that's why you have all the old stories. But the problem with religion is that everybody's still worshiping those old stories and they're not thinking of how it gets updated. Like, if we grow and change as people and the gods are just as varied as we are, why wouldn't the gods change and grow as well? The problem with major organized religions is that they're clinging to old, outdated systems. But the world and existence doesn't stay in one time period. It progresses. It's ever changing. It's always moving forward. It's always changing in some way. So then religion needs to keep up with that. You can't just hold tight to some old dusty book that was like reinterpreted thousands of times into thousands of different languages throughout history. No, it's time that we look at those stories as a history, as a timeline of religion and humankind's interactions with the gods and their growth with the gods. The gods learn and grow too. When all of this started, I'll get more into how the gods sort of make themselves known in my life and things like that, but it's kind of irrelevant right now because it's too much to explain. But for now, know that they've taught me a language of my very own that in ways that I personally speak to them, and they've guided me to different theologies, and I've been going through all of the theologies, and I'm seeing all the ties that like bind them and how they connect. And one of the first theologies that I was guided to Well, it went from voodoo to Orisha and Yoruba land. And if we look at the Orisha and like the African deities and that pantheon, it's kind of messed up because when everybody thinks of ways of thinking and interpreting our realities, they just think of like Eastern philosophy and Western philosophy. But there's this whole rich history of African philosophy that nobody really ever even talks about. And the Orisha, they're all gods that are very synonymous with other gods that you find in other religions. But the thing is they all have their own flaws. And the creator god, Albatala, his compassion for mankind comes from his acknowledgement of his own flaws. Like, think about that shit, dude. That's some deep-ass shit. Like, that's the kind of god I could believe in. Like, not some, like, stuffy-ass, white-bearded dude that thinks he's perfect and, like, yes, I'm this perfect god. Like, no, in like, Albatala, it has compassion for mankind because he acknowledges his own flaws. And all of the Orisha in the pantheon, they each have their own flaws, but it's through working together that they balance each other out. But if we look at history, like slavery and things like that have basically split the African religious thought into many, many, many wildly different things because they had to hide their religion because they were slaves. And which is super fucked up, but and something that I'm gonna probably dive into more later. But the African deities, they all have their own personalities and their own ways of doing things, and they're very relatable. They make sense on a human level. And why? Because in the Orisha pantheon, and they talk about how they all used to be people, like humans. And through whatever their actions, they have become Orisha. They have transcended. So what if that's? I mean, what if that is a point of life? Is that where we live multiple lifetimes, and we're learning and we're experiencing different things, like lifetimes of things, that all compile into like slowly, whether we into our subconscious or whatever. And until the day that we actually come to an understanding. And maybe when you reach that understanding, maybe that's when you go to the next level. Maybe that's what heaven is. See, here's another one of my theories. I think, as of right now, I'm always learning more and thinking more about stuff. But right now, here's a theory that I have. Well, so we have eternal souls, okay? But our soul is made up of many different parts and many different essences, and like our past lives are all like culminated into our soul. And what does that look like? Well, I think that looks like every decision that we've ever made, any experience that we've ever had, all grouped up into what makes us us. You ever think about like why are you into a certain kind of music? Why do you have the personality that you do? Why does some things make you angry for no reason? Why are you scared the fuck out of spiders for apparently no reason? Like, why are these things? Well, you could say that they're learned in a lifetime, but it makes more sense if they're learned over multiple lifetimes. So I think we experience in the physical plane and we live a lifetime and we're here to learn lessons. And then our body dies and our soul returns to the spirit realm. And I think when we're there, I think that our soul remembers all of our past lives. And then I think that we interact with different deities or different energies and we make a plan for the life that we're going to come back to. And because of what do we need to learn still? What do we need to work on? And how can we help other people along the way? And then so then we go... We incarnate back in a body, and then we live that. But we also, but when we pass that, I think there's a veil. That, and then see, this is where I was getting all of this from, is that we were guided to read a book about Kemeticism, as a ancient Egyptian religion, and this is basically kind of what it describes it as: is that there's, you know, when we're in the spirit realm, we remember our past lives and things, and we interact with things in that realm. And then when we pass through the veil back into a physical body, then we forget, because the human brain can only remember so much, because we're in a meat controller, so it can only comprehend so much. So it goes to nature versus nurture. I think that we're kind of born with pre-existing knowledge and think that's why some people pick some shit up and they're just really fucking good at it, right out of the first time they try it. It's because that might not be the first time that they've done that. So we live our lives, learn our lessons. Maybe we've learned our lesson, maybe we didn't. Maybe we make the wrong decisions. So then we pass back to the spirit realm, and then we do it all over again until we get to a point where we learn what we need to learn. But the great equalizer is the fact that we forget it once we pass into a body, because that makes us, that resets us, and that gives us a need to, that gives us a drive, because we gotta figure out why the fuck we came back in the first place. But as you can see throughout history, we tend to forget, or well, some of us maybe actually remember and find our true purpose, and they bring good change to the world. And maybe actually some people's purpose was to, I don't know, bring chaos to the world. Who knows? Because if there wasn't anything to play against, then there would be nothing to do at all. What if, okay, let's say that there's just one supreme source of everything, existence in its entirety. If you were that supreme thing and you were all that was, what kind of existence would that be? It would be lonely, and it would be strange, and there would be never a need to do anything because you are everything. So it makes sense to me that if there was this supreme source, that it would want to separate itself into other parts so that it could experience itself, so that it could work against itself, and that it could grow. This whole idea that we are all one, we are all connected, runs through many different theologies and religions, and I truly believe it. I think that we come from a single source that has split itself up into many different things so that it can experience itself, so that things could happen, so that there was something to drive, there's a goal or something to work towards. If you really start to break it down, the world is such a synergistic place. It's a fucking phenomenal layering of multiple storylines. Stories that influence, impact, and learn from one another. We all play different roles in everyone's specific story. You may have been a bad ex that led someone to growth by leaving you. You may also have been an ex who was empowered by being with someone terrible. We're just a giant web. What if we're an existence that experiences itself because the alternative is just stagnant? Like, a single being in existence would have no goals. It would have no drive. It would have no reason to do anything at all, because it is all that is. Why wouldn't it separate itself into multiple parts? If it was like this supreme thing, I would assume that it would have the capabilities. So why wouldn't it separate itself into multiple parts so that it can experience conflict? Think about it. All of the greatest stories that we ever, that is like the sole thing that any story of any type is based on. Conflict. There has to be something, a conflict there. We don't watch stories about people that do nothing. We watch stories that are people working for a goal, because that is just the natural like way that it should be. That's what keeps things in motion, is goals and drives and things to do. So through working against itself, it has something to compete against. It gives itself a goal. It gives itself something to strive for. If you were the only thing that ever existed, like the grand source of everything, what would you do? Would you just revel in your own existence for all of eternity? Or would you separate into companions? I don't know about you, but that sounds really lonely, just to be the only thing that exists. Do you like that everyone in your life has different opinions? Do you ask other people in your life for advice? Well, if others didn't exist, would you even need to ask anyone else for advice on how to handle a situation? No, because there would be no one else besides you to create a situation. And how do you create a situation with yourself? So what's more logical? That everything is just random and we just somehow developed into what we are now for no reason at all? Or existence exists to experience itself? I mean, just look at nature, and the intelligent design evidence is everywhere. It seriously just seems way more ludicrous to me to believe that it just randomly happened with no intelligent intervention. And I'm not saying, like, but see, most people get weirded out by that idea that there was some sort of creator or something else besides us that existed and created us, whether maybe it was directly or indirectly. Like, I have no idea, but I'm like definitely open to the possibility, and I believe that there is some kind of creator, because that makes way more fucking sense than there not. But again, you are totally free to believe whatever you want. Here again, we're just positroning. Neutronin is positroning here. And again, I'm not sharing what I'm going through to you all for money. I want nothing from you all except for you guys to succeed, because when we succeed as together. I'm doing this because all your successes, big and small, truly make the world a better place. Every time that you succeed, that sets off some little chain of events and adds some kind of wonderful, magical little thing to the world. I want you to succeed, and guess what? I want you to fail, too. Oh, take that one in. Because through failure, we grow. Failure separates those that truly deserve success and those that don't. If we don't fail, we have no reason to grow. We have no drive. If you have everything you want, then what do you strive for? Nothing. You stagnate. And things that stagnate rot. And they transform into something else. So whether you do anything or not, you're still transforming. But I choose to transform by fire, by motion, by action, by doing, and by failing and tripping and falling on my face, and by not being good enough for something and doing every damn thing I can do to become not only good enough, but even better for what's next. You never stop. You always strive for more. Our successes are our rewards for our growth. They're not cozy, cushy places to lie our heads. No, they're gifts that we earn. They're for us to unwrap, not to wrap ourselves in. We open them, enjoy them, and ideally we share them with others. But in the end, you don't have to, because it's totally up to you. I mean, we are walking sentient flesh bags that inhale tiny little particles that are absorbed from the air and somehow make it into our bloodstream so they can be delivered to all parts of our body to keep them alive. Like, we put things in our mouths and mash them around a bit so an acid-filled sack inside of us can break down the elements even further, which eventually give us energy to keep living. Yet it seems so far-fetched that when we die, the us that drives this flesh ship goes somewhere else and continues on. Thinking that there's nothing after this life seems way more absurd than believing this is all there is. Well, I hope you enjoyed my spew some more about irreverentism. Again, reiterate, these are all my theories, and like I said, they're like the gods have made themselves known to me, so I truly do believe this, but I'm learning. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm saying that big things are happening. I'm not sure exactly what it all means, but if you're listening to this podcast, there's a reason. So if something resonates, all I ask is that you think about it. Be open to the possibility. Think and learn and try to steer your ship back on the quest for understanding. So I'm going to do my best to, through what I learn and what I'm guided through, I'm going to try to relay that stuff to you guys. But I want all of you to know that, yeah, the gods, they exist. Or I don't know, whatever you want to call them. There are energies that exist that are not of this realm, but they're here to guide us, or at least be open to that possibility, and keep an eye out, because you're not going to believe this until they make themselves known in your life. And maybe this podcast is the start of that. Maybe that's what's starting your journey into whatever all of this crazy, wild, wonderful things is. My life has been like an amazing adventure lately, and I'm excited to wake up and learn more. And I want to share that excitement with you, because it's out there. You just got to be open to it. So start thinking some more. Think about why and what we are. And look into, like, do your own research. Look up different religions, theologies, whatever you're guided to, because that's your guides. They're trying to guide you to certain things. And I truly believe that the answers to why we are here lie within each and every one of us's personal circumstances in life. So wherever you're at in life, whether it's good or bad, there's answers for you there. And that's why, and they're uniquely your answers. Because that's why we're here, is to find our own truths. And that's what I'm just trying to spread the message of. Let's work together to find our own truths. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you dig what I do, I also do more than just talk. I do a lot of sculptures and things like that on Twitch, twitch.tv/signeutron. I'm trying to make that my full-time thing. So if you are on Twitch and you like hanging out with a cool group of people and watching art get made and hanging out with me, well, then give me a follow on the Twitch. And if you're feeling sassy, hit that sub button, because that helps me out too. I also started a community called the Cigarette Pack on Discord. Usually Discord is used for gaming, but I'm repurposing it and using it as a hub for weirdos, because I believe in encouraging all of our individuality, and I think our weirdness is our gifts, and it should be encouraged and not shat upon or discouraged or hidden. So we have lots of channels on the Cigarette Pack. Search for it on Discord, or if you're listening to this on Podbean, I have the invite link is in the description of this podcast episode. Also, follow me on Twitter @SigNeutron, and you'll see a pinned tweet that has the invite code to the Cigarette Pack. We also have discussions on a little channel on irreverentism. So if anything I said and you want to discuss it with me, I would love that. So please join the Cigarette Pack and throw out your questions and let's talk about it, because through talking, that's how we come to understanding. And I use a lot of what we talk about on there to actually think about what to talk about on the podcast. So yeah, if you got a question and you want it answered, and then there's just, yep, the trash truck is totally fucking up my audio right now, but we're just going to roll with it. Extra production value. It's like I'm in some industrial cool thing. I don't know. Yeah, follow the Cigarette Pack. I'm also @SigNeutron on Instagram. And yeah, all that cool stuff. So anyways, whatever you believe, keep it weird, and keep it positive, and keep it productive. And man, that was kind of an okay outro. I don't know. I guess we'll just leave it there with the sweet. I'll have the trash truck play me out.